It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just awareness, I think, overall, and again, that sometimes the ball finds you, sometimes it doesn't. Game plan to game plan. I know you guys love to talk about, look at the stat sheet and says who hasn't gotten the ball and who has, and then we get so enamored with that. It's the ball finds the guy that it's supposed to find, and the game plan has to help with that. But there's also a defense out there that sometimes determines where the ball is going to fall, right? Playing and play out, or in this case, pass to pass. So you start pushing it, you start stressing over it. Awareness is important in this case, but overall, the ball is going to go where it's meant to go, and that's really how really good offenses work and decision-making by the quarterback. And Josh has done a real good job to this point.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. There's a lot in there. That's a lengthy, nuanced. It's not quite a two-word slogan everybody eats. It might be the opposite, what he says there. I've decided that everybody eats is now eating itself. Because the head coach, the ball goes where it's supposed to go. Sometimes defenses dictate that, funnel it someplace. You know, like, I mean, that's not a, we're trying to spread it around. It was a question about maybe Curtis Samuel getting more touches, which Joe Brady said he wants to get Curtis Samuel more touches. Mm-hmm. Like, first it was Kincaid more involved, now it's Samuel more involved. You know, like, listen, they want to do whatever they can do to be the best offense they can. There's no doubt about that. And that's all McDermott cares about, right? Be the best offense you can with the pieces you've got. I mean, Brady spreading it around, he might think that's his best plan to get there, but McDermott might be a little bit more cut and dry of how many points you're putting up. I don't care if you throw 100 passes to Khalil Shakir in a game or if it's 10 to 5 different guys, but whatever you do to put up points, that's your job. You know, get it done. Get me points.
Hearing that comment also does make me think about Kincaid a lot and how Joe Marino told us yesterday, like, there is a lot of attention being paid to him off the ball when he's out there running routes over the middle of the field. Like, he is, again, part of this is in the second halves of two games, they have not been throwing the football. So his numbers are going to be deflated a little bit. But he is on pace right now for 77 targets, which is 14 fewer than he had last year. It's actually fewer, it's about the same amount of receptions that he had last year. Yards down, touchdowns, I guess, 1 versus 2, so it's like whatever there. But that's, again, score impacts that, but he's been okay, he's been pretty good. I want to know if that is somebody that you can get the ball to and can be an impact, regardless of what how the defense plays him. McDermott talking about the defense there. Like, one thing that's almost a pet peeve of mine that you hear on broadcast a lot is, hey, just take what the defense is giving you. Like, why would I want to do that all the time? Because I'm doing what the defense wants. If the defense wants to give me this, then I don't want to do that. If they're not giving me the Kincaid plays, I still want Kincaid involved in the offense. I still want him to be an impact player because, you know, we talked in the first hour about how rare it is for the top tight ends to really be game breakers like that, but I'm still holding out hope that Kincaid can be one of those guys. That's such a matchup nightmare that you can pay all the attention you want to him. He's still going to be involved.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline to recap yesterday's day down at One Bills Drive with all these media day interviews as we prepare for the Texans, Bills and Texans. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
What'd you take away from McDermott? That comment, other comments? I mean, it seems like, a big loss. A loss will bring out maybe more attention. I don't think Bills fans are freaking out or anything like that. But whatever, it shines a light on a couple things that went wrong. And McDermott talking about the offense right there, or Joe Brady talking about the offense. What's your takeaway?
I just think it's a lot of, generalizing, coach speak, because you're trying not to really give away anything strategically or put the focus on any one individual. That's just how they generally operate. I mean, they have this philosophy of, you get the ball to who you get the ball to, and we move down the field, and that's what matters. As you just said, that's what he cares about. I think Joe Brady's the same way. But of course, when Joe Brady's asked about, hey, here's Curtis Samuel, he hasn't been involved, he's not going to say, well, yeah, that's the game plan. We're not going to get involved. Hey, it's my job to get him more touches. It's my job to figure that out. He's a good player. You probably could say that about anybody, right? Well, Dalton Kincaid, yeah, I got to scheme him open better to, get him away from some of that stuff, because he's a big part of it. So I don't read necessarily anything into it other than, hey, whatever it takes to move the ball down the field is what it takes to move the ball down the field. This isn't about how we have to get it to one guy specifically or what we're, in that regard. It's if one guy has 10 catches, one guy has 10 catches. If somebody has zero catches, somebody has zero catches. But if we're moving the ball down the field, that's what matters.
You know, one thing about this whole shift for the Bills, and whether it's if it's stereotyping or, kind of guessing narratives, the idea of this group is they won't have anyone that will rock the boat and feel like they need to be more involved, right? Mm-hmm. That's really what this is, whether that's Kincaid or Dawson Knox or Curtis Samuel. There seems to be a general feeling, though, that Samuel is the number one guy here to get more involved, because his contract indicates that they believed he'd be part of their game plan, right? Kincaid and Shakir, they've been here before. We know what they do. The newest additions are Coleman and Curtis Samuel. And we've seen Coleman. He's being brought along. He's getting his targets. And Samuel's the one that still seems like it's not quite matching up yet.
Yeah, so I'm still wondering, about that, why that hasn't happened yet. And, that was kind of the reason why Joe Brady was asked. I mean, here we are, three games into the season, and you guys have the numbers there. So we look, Curtis Samuel is what, 8 catches, 48 yards, four games in. It's just not, I think, how they planned it when they signed him. It doesn't seem like it is. I'd be surprised. I mean, they paid him $8 million a year. He had his best pro career when he's with Joe Brady and that offense in Carolina in 2020. It doesn't seem like that's the case. I mean, there's been nothing about the toe injury necessarily impacting him. He's not on the injury report at all. I still wonder, turf toe is a tough injury for a wide receiver. There's no doubt about it. But I haven't seen anything like that. The snap counts aren't super high. They're, to me, not high enough for a guy that you probably thought you'd be incorporating into your offense more. So those are the questions and why it's being asked to Joe Brady. So it's really interesting. And you're right about, having guys who won't rock the boat. I'll say it this way, too, though. It's not necessarily even outwardly rocking the boat. Did you read the Jeremy Fowler piece on Stephon Diggs yesterday?
I did.
Yes, yep.
We did.
Very interesting. So I think you're right, Jeremy, how you say it, but I think that it's also an internal kind of feeling and pressure sometimes. It's not just outwardly. It's not like, Stephon Diggs, as someone who covered him for 4 years, he never came out and said, I have to have the ball more. He never did that. But I do think if you read that article, a lot of times there's a weightiness that goes along with wide receivers like him to feel like if we're not making him happy, then that's going to happen. And there's a tension that always goes along with that. And I think that can weigh on an organization
maybe
after several years.
Well,
right? There's no doubt.
I
think that is the same thing that you're talking about here.
Yeah. And, if I may, context on this all matters. It's Diggs week. So we might as well get our last, not that it will even be our last shots on this conversation, but the context of if he did that with this group versus last year's group, I feel like that is different. Last year it was Davis, who had multiple zero target games, and that's a Josh Allen point. He did not throw to Gabe Davis, whether there's a lot trust was lost there or whatever. And after that, it's Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. So, if you're forget Diggs, if you are the best receiver in a room, and the room is a ghost town, you might want the ball more versus if it's flush with other options. You know what I'm saying, Sal? Like if he's making a stink about a group that includes Shakir was on the team too, and he blossomed late. Coleman, Shakir, and Curtis Samuel and Diggs. I mean, because right now he is in a room like that where he's not the number one option. So I feel like, and I always like to make this point, I feel like the sin was that he wasn't insulated enough, and that might have been what drove him, part of it, to create that pressure. Like, you guys need me more because of what you've done with the rest of the room.
Yeah, I mean, it's also when you're winning, though, you don't really, like, part of something that was said in that was written in that article was, even if he felt that way, when you're winning, that's not, you know, you don't really, it's not a good look for anybody if you're feeling that way or mm-hmm. talking that way or, you know, saying anything like that. And again, I think that it's a tough nuanced conversation because none of us here, I don't think any of us three are saying anything bad about if you want. I mean, everybody wants the ball and he's great and he should want the ball, right? I mean, like, and it's going to make your team better if you get him the ball. I mean, Davante Adams, it was so funny yesterday. Another media member and I were talking about, you know, Davante Adams, and he pointed out, and I didn't realize this and I didn't remember it. So last year, Davante Adams actually after a game or before a week was at the podium and said, my standard isn't wins and losses, it's greatness. And talking about getting the ball. And we're like, wow, like that's crazy. Like, think about that guy comes here, right? What if Stefon Diggs said that at the podium? My standard isn't wins and losses, it's greatness. The media people would be having a field day and like, oh my God, what is this? He's all about himself. Davante Adams said that. He literally said that last year at the podium. And like that's what I think that context matters. I agree with you. And I'm always trying to think about, look, I know he said that, like, does he really mean that he just wants stats? I don't think he means that. I think what he's saying is, get me the ball and it'll help us win.
Yeah.
Because that's what great people do. Great people are great when you need them to be the greatest, right? I think that's what Davante Adams meant. But when you stand up and say at a podium, my standard isn't wins and losses, it's greatness, it sounds like you're selfish.
For sure. It definitely does. And yeah, like if you're a coach, you might not love that. But, you know, Sal, this is how this works. There are... If you win, your flag flies forever. If you ride somebody that is selfish and he helps get everybody there, then, you know, so be it. I was thinking about this interesting, like, wins and losses and all that. Did you hear Brady on Baker Mayfield?
A little bit. I think you guys might have touched on it. What did he say exactly?
So there was a quote, and this is kind of like adjacent to a receiver wanting his stats, and you know it's all about how you approach the game, and all that matters is really winning. So Baker, there's a quote from Baker on the broadcast of the Eagles and Bucks game where he's talking about how they brought me in, they wanted me to, you know, loosen everybody up and have some more fun. Everyone's having a little bit more fun these days. And Kevin Burkhardt asks Brady about that, and Brady, I mean, he it's the most interesting thing he's said as a broadcaster yet. He launches into that super competitive mode where he said, I thought stress was not winning Super Bowls. You want to have fun? This isn't,
right.
He said, this isn't daycare. So, like, there
is better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
There's Brady, largely regarded as the greatest of all time, saying, he got offended at the idea of someone saying we're out here trying to have a good time and loosen up. And there's Brady being offended by it. So, you know, it's all in how you approach. There's a lot of different ways to get there. And Mayfield kind of deflected it after the fact and said, like, he did it his way, I do it my way, blah, blah, blah. But I found it a super interesting exchange. And I think it can kind of be applied to, you know, a lot of this receiver talk is, that guy wants the ball. Okay, fine. He's going to annoy me for 3 years. Now I've had enough. But there are years and there are circumstances where that can be utilized for good for your team.
Listen, and bringing it back to this particular team, I'm sure everybody on the team wants the ball. It's just like, it's what the nature of your business, right? It's what you do. You catch footballs and you try to score touchdowns and get yards and help your team win. And at the end of the day, there's also a contract involved and payday and free agency. Like, everybody wants the ball. And, you know, there's going to be times where you're not going to get it, times where you're going to get a little bit more. Sean McDermott yesterday says the ball's going to find who it's going to find. I think that it's incumbent upon the entire organization all the time to balance those things out both on and off the field and massage those egos. And that a lot can go along with that. I think those are some of the behind the scenes things that, you know, maybe we don't see, even it's there every day. Like, we don't see that and don't know it. And they can have great relationships, but there's always, I think, a lot of, okay, does that person feel like they're a part of this as much? I think that can happen in any walk of life though, right? Which is, you know, you guys have a show and, you know, if you have, you know, and Josh is a part of your show. And sometimes maybe, Jeremy, you're thinking about like, well, if I do this, like, am I incorporating Joe enough? Right. I mean, I'm not saying you are necessarily, but I think there's a lot of times you can have that in any walk of life, in any environment, but especially in a very, very, very highly competitive atmosphere and environment like professional football. And I think it's kind of natural.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. So Texans.
See, there you go. I said that. So, and then Joe asked the next question. That's what I mean. Joe's getting involved right there.
Yeah.
There you go.
So Sal, on the Texans side of things and on Diggs, but maybe from, you know, what's going on with him right now and how you see that and as a challenge for the Bills. How interesting is it to you? And I guess, you know, is it surprising to you the role that he has there? He's number 5 in the league in snaps. Slot snaps, and his average depth of target is the lowest of his career. So, like, he's still getting the ball. Like, he's on pace for over 100 targets. But it certainly looks like Houston is playing him differently than the Bills had for the last couple of years.
I wonder if that, how much is a little circumstantial with Tank Dell's situation. He hasn't played a little bit here. He's been a little bit banged up. I'm trying to look over I'm trying to see if I can get his snap counts from a game to game basis, because I think he's ramped it up a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Sure. I mean, but look, I think he's a different receiver now. He's a little bit older. I mean, Joe, the Bills started using him different last year, right? I mean, the Bills started to give him ball at the line of scrimmage instead of having him go down the field as much. And, you know, that early in the year, there were a few shots that they missed, and I think even one or two late in the year. But I think the Bills even started using him different. They have a different team. They have a different type of receiving core, you know, for sure. But the Bills have played against Stephon Diggs. We asked guys about that yesterday. We asked, you know, Taron Johnson and other guys, like, hey, you know, and Terrell Bernard, you know, you played against Stephon Diggs. They all have, you know, a lot of respect. They all say the right thing and praise him and how great he was. And Taron said, well, I went against him in practice every day. So it's really, you know, I know how great he is, but I also, you know, it's not anything I'm not used to necessarily. Like, this is, you know, it's only been 4 games without him, without seeing him at practice every week. So, yeah, I do think they're using him a little different. I think it's a little bit circumstantial because of some of the injuries they've had. But I also think the Bills started shifting how they used him last year.
Let's get the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Speaking of receivers, Sal, Khalil Shakir shows up on the injury report. He and Deion Dawkins, two of the bigger names here. What level of concern when there's no practice on a Wednesday?
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking. I'm just trying to grab the Texans report, too, because I was looking that up yesterday after a couple conflicting things, but we'll get to that in a second. Khalil Shakir has an ankle injury. It popped up during the game. It didn't pop up. He got rolled up a little bit during the game early on. He fought through it. I do think it impacted his game a little bit on Sunday night. So now they're taking it day by day, and we'll see where it goes. Deion Dawkins, during the game, every time he'd come off the sidelines after a series, they were working a little bit, taking a look at his hamstring, but he kept going back in the game. He never left the game. He didn't miss any snaps because of the injury, so there was no official injury report during the game. But we did mention it on the broadcast that was happening, and now it's day by day with him as well, although Sean McDermott said, sure, there's concern he could not play Sunday, but we're also managing it, so let's see where it goes. Austin Johnson, defensive lineman, has an oblique injury. That could be part of the reason they also signed Zion Logue from the Falcons practice squad, although obviously there was an open roster spot after Von Miller's suspension. And then there's one other person I'm missing here, Taylor Rapp, of course, in concussion protocol. He did work off to the side yesterday. which means he's, you know, progressing at some capacity in the concussion protocol, but we'll see. Good news, Terrell Bernard in a blue jersey, guys, not even a red non-contact jersey. Mm-hmm. That tells me he's trending really well to maybe be able to play. Taron Johnson did practice yesterday, red non-contact jersey, although I will tell you, he did not do any of the contact drills with his position group. Anytime they wrapped up a bag, they hit a bag, they hit each other in a light capacity, he did not take part in that stuff. He did catch passes, though, so I wonder where that goes. He's also wearing a really big brace that's wrapped up from his wrist to his elbow, basically, over his forearm. For the Houston Texans, I say conflicting because I had read that Joe Mixon was going to practice, but he did not actually wind up practicing. Right. He's considered day-to-day. We'll see. It is a Wednesday, so maybe today's a little bit different for him. He has an ankle injury. He's missed a couple of games. Damian Pierce, the other running back there, obviously they have Cam Akers as well. He has a hamstring injury, did not practice. Laremy Tunsil has an ankle injury, did not practice. And then Tank Dell did actually practice, but he does have rib injuries, and he's missed a couple of weeks with that, which is a very painful deal, but he hasn't practiced yet, and yesterday he was limited. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. On Shakir Sal, if he's limited,
yeah,
or, you know, like looking at his role, it's been a lot of yards after catch. It's been playing in the slot a lot, and it's been really maybe Josh's most reliable target through the first month of the season. If he's limited or has to not play for stretches of the game, let alone maybe doesn't play, that's just Samuel at that point, right? Like, I'm trying to think if there's even another guy on the team that would primarily play in the slot, do some of the same things. Maybe Kincaid, honestly, even would be the next name.
Well, I think that's right, Joe, but I think that if that's the case, you might have to consider elevating someone. Is that KJ Hamler, right? Is that Tyrell Shavers that could help out to be able to move someone else? Tyrell's not going to be a slot guy, but maybe you elevate him and put somebody else in the slot a little bit more, like a Curtis Samuel. You know, maybe that's the case. So to me, it's not just, you know, can he play? Will he be effective? If the answer to that is, we're gonna see, and he might be limited, do you have to elevate somebody from the practice squad? And in that case, you know, like I said, Shavers, Hamler, Jalen Virgil's on the practice squad. It could be anybody, really. But to me, those would be Shavers and Hamler would be the two logical guys. Now, they feel that they don't want to do that, but he's going to play and they go with five, then yeah, I think that maybe Kincaid obviously has to have a little more time there. I think Curtis Samuel can obviously play there a little bit. But that's probably what you're looking at for your options. And then you can obviously flex James Cook out a little bit as well.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Worcester Hotline. Sal, are we calling it an Adams watch? Should we do it Devontae watch? I mean, or are we just sitting this one out for a little while? Because these wide receiver watches don't tend to happen. Nothing ever happens. The kiss of death is if Von Miller comes out and says, I've made a call. I'm calling Devontae Adams.
Well, he's away for a little bit.
Right, he's away from the team.
No, I don't know if we can call it Adams watch yet because, you know, if you think about like the day in 2012 they signed Mario Williams, that was like Mario watch. Like, he was in the building. Like, they're negotiating. Are they going to be able to get it done? Like, we're on watch to see this. Adams watch is more of like what's going to happen with him. I don't think it's specifically for the Bills yet. Like, I don't think we're to that point. They're just one of the teams in the mix here being reported, at least.
All right. Very good.
So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I think we need to have something a little bit more than inquiry.
Yes.
Before we get to a watch.
Yeah.
It's got to be above inquiry.
Well, this is like a tornado or a hurricane watch versus in warning, right? Yeah. Watch is like, hey, something out there might develop. So I guess that could fit. And then once you know, it's like, oh, okay, we're under a warning here. But so I guess it could kind of fit in that regard.
But only if we have a warning above it. Right, okay. Like we're going to diminish watch a little bit because we're going to introduce Adam's warning, which would be.
I think inquiry is your what's below watch? Well, let's figure out a good word.
That's
there's warning, then there's watch. What's below watch?
Advisory.
That's exactly it.
Thank you, Josh.
Advisory. That's exactly the way. You know what? Pat Hammer is listening somewhere, going advisory.
He's screaming like, advisory in his car.
Advisory.
Yeah,
I always felt like it was backwards. And are you sure advisory is below those other two?
I think he's right. I think advisory is the
because there's always winter weather advisories and things like that. But then there's like a winter storm watch or winter storm warning. Oh, wait. Maybe warning's above watch.
I don't even know.
Shouldn't watch be above warning? Because
okay,
it's
here we
like,
go.
Hell, the winter storm's here. Now watch it.
A winter storm watch is issued if snow or ice has the potential to cause dangerous conditions in the next day or so.
Yeah.
A warning would be issued if a dangerous winter storm was likely. Advisory issued for weather conditions that don't quite warrant a warning.
Okay, so it's the lowest. Really. All right, so it's an Adams advisory.
No, but Sal's right. That doesn't really differentiate it from watch, though, still, does it?
I don't know. No. It's going to be 70 today.
We're calling it advisory. Adams advisory. All right, that's I'm good with that.
Does it change anything to get the language that Davante Adams would happily join the Bills?
No.
Okay.
Listen, guys, I've been doing this long enough to tell you that, like, in Devontae's spot here, because, you know, you want to make sure you maximize what's happening, or the Raiders want to maximize it, like, there's nobody any good to not say he wouldn't be happy to go somewhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Keep
the options and bidding open. I'm not saying he wouldn't want to necessarily. What I'm saying, though, is I'd be surprised if it's like, well, there, you know, Devontae's coming out and said, I don't want to go there. It could happen, obviously, but it's just the more teams in the mix, the more it helps the Raiders and Devontae for a rework type of contract or something.
Right, right. The only place we know he doesn't want to play is Vegas. That's it.
Seems apparent, yes.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
All right. 803-0550. The reason I bring that up is Ian Rappaport has this list of teams: Saints, Steelers, Ravens, Bills, Cowboys, and perhaps the 49ers are among the teams that either have inquired about the six-time Pro Bowl player or are places he would be happy landing.
Okay.
And again, if you are trying to strong-arm the Jets, there's another report out there, they believe that he's just trying to manufacture a trade to the Jets, you'd pick all the good teams. All the good teams want him, and he'd be happy going to a good team if you want to make this happen. We'll get a break in. Our thanks to Sal Capaccio, 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.